gunning this, brother running this, Buffalo soldier. Look, it's like I told you. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Sean, this is one of your choices, right?
Yes.
You hear some Will Smith, you hear the... You hear some Cisco as well, right?
Yep, Drew Hill.
Drew Hill overall, okay. Well, you know the movie. He sang it. Is this the movie? Is this the song you said where he was telling the entire... Or was that a different one? Telling the entire plot?
So the first
plot?
Verse is just kind of general scene setting. The second one he does get into, like, giant spiders.
Okay.
Giant robot spiders.
So if you have missed the first hour of the show, we are playing songs from original soundtracks. Original songs for movie soundtracks. Has to be made for the movie. This is Sean's selection to Wild Wild West. Got a music video and a very popular music video and everything. Yeah, so Will Smith. That movie was terrible, from what I remember.
He's name-dropping the villain of this movie.
He might as well.
No, he is, like, saying
no,
the
I
name
heard,
of
No, I heard it. But he might as well, because if you, it's better than forcing people to watch the movie to find the,
I mean, yeah,
to find out that villain's name.
But 4 minutes and 30 seconds of the movie, and you get most of it instead of 2 hours.
Yeah, so you could have saved some time. The video is better.
Kevin Klein, though.
The music video is better than the movie.
Oh, life. This is the best part about
the entire thing.
The entire enterprise.
Yeah.
Then Salma Hayek are the two best.
Well, things. Yeah. You get more screen time with Salma Hayek. That is true. So maybe you go, no. I was trying to say maybe go watch it because you love Salma Hayek. There are other things.
There's really.
From Dusk Till Dawn, you can watch it.
There's that, really no
if you're
point.
Desperate for that, to watch Salma Hayek do her thing, you can watch other things.
Oh, Steve Wonder's in this music video. This is, it, I've potted it down because it's just like. There's a little mini scene in the middle.
Oh, Stevie Wonder, huh?
Yeah.
Was he in the actual movie or just
no,
the video?
This is just a music video.
Okay.
Like, edition.
Let's get to Jerry here. He wants to talk about something on television. This time, it's House of the Dragon. One of my favorite things about this show is that no one really knows what the title of the show is. It could be House of the Dragon, The Dragon Show. It doesn't matter. Some people call it Hot D.
Yeah.
Either way, it's about dragons and the downfall of the Targaryen dynasty. And Jerry wants to talk about it. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Del. Hey, this is House of Dragons, probably the first show in a very long time where I know what time it comes out on what particular day. Like, it's Sunday, and I'm like, all right, I got to block this time to watch this show. I never did that with Game of Thrones. And my wife is a huge Game of Thrones fan. So I'm watching Game of Thrones for the first time between the Sundays of House of Dragon coming out. I'm going through season 3, and there's a scene where, Joffrey is walking the girl from Highgarden, through a temple.
Marjorie Tyrell.
He basically spoils on how what happened to Rhaenyra. So, doesn't that already explain how season 4 is going to end? And if so, like, why bother even watching season 4? Now that I'm watching Game of Thrones for the first time, season 2 and 3 of House of Dragons is kind of slow. But again, Aegon makes it great. And I just got done watching the Red Wedding episode. It was like a WTF moment. And my wife tells me it's gonna get worse and better at the end. So I don't know what to expect. But anyways, I can't wait for 2 years to know that we already know how it's gonna end for Rhaenyra. So how do you see this season coming up? Anyways, thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it'll be a 2 year wait, and that's the Joffrey spoiler is part of some of the lore because no one knew that House of the Dragons would become a show. No one knew how popular Game of Thrones would be, that it would spark so much interest, even despite its poor ending, that more shows were going to be made. So, yes, Game of Thrones happens chronologically after House of the Dragon. So things that were mentioned there may pop up on that show. it just so happened that Jerry got a full taste of it because of the Joffrey thing. But that had been well known. It's just part. Now you're like the book readers. The book readers know how it's going to go. I knew how the first four seasons of Game of Thrones was going to go. I read those books. At the prompting, it was very random because at the time, HBO wanted to do ads and they wanted to do it through AT&T. Like, go. I think it was like, hey, at the time, maybe DirecTV and AT&T were together. I forgot how it was. But John and Lance both had phone companies they were working with. So they couldn't read the spot. So I read it. It's something like that. They both had competing spots, so I read it. And it was like, sign up for this, and you get a month free of HBO. You can watch House of the Dragon or something like that. So I got to do it. Had never heard of Game of Thrones or A Song of Ice and Fire. Read the books because of the spot, and then watched the show. Had never heard of it, but I knew about all the stuff that was going to happen there. And now Jerry is among lots of people who know how the story's going to end.
Yeah, and also Jerry, I hope you're not a fan of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, because that also will get lightly spoiled or very much spoiled.
Hey Jerry,
at least season one gets a very spoiled in the show. And yeah, it also is funny him like being like, yeah, watching season 3 and 4 of Game of Thrones.
You mean
there's levels
peak,
to this.
Peak Game of Thrones? Yeah, yeah, it's gonna make House of the Dragon look slow. It's
everything's gonna suck.
That's tough. It's tough when you're in the middle of peak Game of Thrones, but it is a cross you're gonna have to bear if you want to watch them concurrently.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to deal.
Jerry, can you call us back every time you finish the season?
I want to have a correspondent for a guy who is watching it for the first time.
Yeah,
you're right.
2016 television. Yeah, I want just a little time machine.
I would like to be reminded of things because the ending wasn't great and it somewhat soured me on going back and watching it. But I am on the current shows. So Jerry, I'd love a fresh view of each season once you're done. You're welcome to be our Game of Thrones correspondent, like a time capsule.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. So welcome, Jerry. You're now part of the show, if you so choose. We'll talk more about television and movies.
Actually, you're going to be out all next week.
Well, yeah, not next week.
Don't call Will Kunkel about this.
Yeah. I don't know how well it'll go for you.
You can call me and B-Mac.
Yeah, B-Mac and Sean will be locked in. Raheel, I'm not sure about Game of Thrones with him. I don't know about Will Kunkel, but I can guess.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
When it comes to Game of Thrones. Abused. So, in fact, you know what? I'm putting like Michael deals with embargoes when he screens stuff. Embargo, Jerry, until I come back.
Okay.
You call in. He can call in about other stuff. Like, he wants to yell about the Astros, which he does quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the George R. Martin universe, embargoed until I'm back.
August 24th, next time you...
That's right, Jerry.
Next time anyone will, from 10 to noon...
No,
will
Jerry
talk
specifically.
About,
anyone else wants to, but...
I'll try to enforce that. Like, nope, can't talk about...
Everyone else can.
Can't spoil... No, you can't spoil it for Jerry.
Oh, that... Yeah. Considering the pace Jerry's on, he may be done with the next season by like Wednesday.
Maybe.
Who
it's
knows?
A weekend coming up.
I don't know. I don't know what he does for work. Maybe he's got some time to do that. As I said, Michael Carroll will join us to talk about movies and television a segment away. By the way, 10 minutes away from your chance to win a spot in the listener appreciation party. Caller 4 at 11:25 simply has to tell Sean their favorite end of show sounder. Let's get to one thing sports related before we go to break. So we have the Jaden Daniels side of the LSU number controversy. Turns out in the cease and desist, it doesn't even mention the number. That's just the inciting incident. He's not actually asking them to stop. He would like to because he feels it's disrespectful, but there's nothing in the legal document that says, hey, the number 5 belongs to me.
Take number 5 off the back of that corner.
Of DJ Pickett.
Yeah.
And if you tried, DJ Pickett would say, no, you can't. Because he's already said, no, that number's mine. I'm not taking it. We're not doing this thing where I give it up.
I respect the hell out of that.
So DJ Pickett not bothered by the alleged controversy surrounding his number.
And LSU seems to be, I mean, this is a Lane Kiffin program. But, like, I think LSU football had a tweet where they, like, were highlighting, like they did a thing where it's like four different photos from today at practice, and the first one was number five at cornerback. Like they're fully leaning into the like, okay, sure, dude. Yeah, we'll take down all your stuff from our campus. Oh no, what will we ever do?
So I will tell people, if you're seeing pictures, I think it got Reggie Ragland, the former Alabama linebacker, who, as you might imagine, wouldn't really F with LSU for any reason. But he tweeted about this. He quote tweeted a picture of like six LSU players wearing the number five jersey. That's not real. If you see it out there, it is Photoshop. They didn't just go all troll. No. Jaden Daniels but by wearing wearing five jerseys throughout practice.
They did, like, the actual LSU football account.
No, I believe. Yeah,
the first picture is DJ Pick.
Yeah, so Reggie Ragland, his latest tweet is a quote tweet of Football Crave, and they credit someone named Alex Box Warrior, which is just an LSU stan account. He just loves LSU sports. The box in reference to the name of their Alex Box, the name of their baseball stadium. He's got pictures in the AI. Every person is wearing a five. And then Reggie Ragland goes, because no one knows what's real on the internet, them boys I ate with me, LOL. If you see that picture, that did not happen. LSU doesn't have a full practice of guys wearing the number five. While they may be looking at this very humorously, as far as Jaden Daniels and his complaints are, they're not doing that. He is still one of their guys. He is still a Heisman Trophy winner. And they asked Joe Burrow about it. He goes, well, I was just told that they wouldn't give out the number nine. And then he did the very politicky like answer. Look, I don't know enough about what's going on there to have any real comment. What's to know? They gave his number away.
He's not educated on the intricacies
of the jersey thing.
Yeah, I'm not.
Joe, let me educate you. You're a Heisman winner. He's a Heisman winner. They deem you far more important because, you know, you won a national title. Your nine stays off the back of a sophomore cornerback. His five goes on. Educated. You good, Joe?
Yeah. What if he was just like, that was Brian Kelly's. I played for Coach O.
Well, Brian Kelly did say, when asked, because of course.
Yeah, he works for CBS.
He was available to answer about the issue, said, yeah. How come you didn't issue the number five to Booker Pickett, even though you promised it to him? Well, he said something like along the lines of, I was waiting for another worthy Heisman Trophy winner for it. Something confusing as far as the question is concerned. So that's why he didn't give it away, because Jaden Daniels was his guy.
Yeah.
And he won a Heisman with him, so he didn't want to give it away to a freshman corner, even though he promised a freshman corner the number. I get it. As an adult, you think about it. Can't you just keep that number off the freshman? You got a Heisman winner who's accomplished far more. DJ Pickett may become a great player, but the guy did win a Heisman. You're going to give away his number, then you realize, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah.
You promised it to him, and the kid in part came to your school because he loves that number. You said he could have it. I will say this. Now, Pickett is he a Louisiana kid? Because if you know it's bad, and it's part of the reason he's not there. If a Louisiana kid, which he is, could possibly not go to LSU if you didn't give him the number. Brian Kelly was in a bad way.
Yeah.
He's not. He's from Florida. Okay. There is a little leeway there. But even still, you're LSU. You're DBU, allegedly. You got a cornerback coming to your school, and the difference possibly between him going there, with NIL, by the way.
Yeah, you could have.
You could have just paid for him not to wear the number. We're going to give you an extra $100K
in honor of the number five. How about we give you $500,000 extra dollars?
That's a bit much. Maybe $5,000. I don't know. Hell, you play that with Devontae Adams when it comes to numbers. We found out what his limit is. It's about $17K. Shout out to Malachi Corley.
Yeah, although I will say, like, Anthony Richardson wore 15 at Florida. Like Terry Bussey wears 2 at A&M. Like they give out Heisman numbers all the time.
Yeah, but LSU does not.
Okay.
And they made the exception in the opposite way for DJ Pickett.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Those Arizona State teammates though that trashed Jaden Daniels' locker.
I remember that.
I'm just saying they might have had a good reason. I don't know. This is unrelated, but just
the vibes probably weren't great while he was there.
I can see why, if he's not winning the Heisman for you, if he's just merely like a good college quarterback, you know, if this is the kind of stuff that he's doing, or at least people around him are doing, I can see where you're like.
Wasn't his mother kind of the travel agent for players getting flights at Arizona State that led to them? Well, they're supposed to get in trouble. I don't know how much trouble they actually got into.
Oh, yeah.
But she was the person, like, getting flights set up. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. And then, of course, he transferred as well, which didn't help. But the number thing, at least for LSU, seems settled. It'll remain on DJ Pickett's back. And Jaden Daniels will continue to ask him to stop using his images and his name in all their promotional material.
It's so funny because there's nothing he can actually do.
Well, I guess he could stop them from, like, using his, like, selling his jersey with his name on the back. Like, they do that. They will, at a time, you could not put a player's name on the jersey. But now you can.
Yeah.
So maybe he goes, you can't make money selling Jaden Daniels fives anymore. I think he might be allowed to do it. It is his name.
Yeah.
You can just sell a blank five now. He can't keep them from selling that. But the funny thing is, now that he's done this, LSU jersey LSU people ain't going to want his jersey anymore.
Anyway.
They don't want his jersey anymore.
Like, okay. All right.
Well, I'm sure there are some people in the LSU world that are on his side, because you get people who become, lack of a better word, stands for players.
Yeah, and if you went to LSU like in
that
2023.
Time period, when you went 10-3.
Yeah, if you started college in 2020, so you 2019 LSU means nothing to you. Also COVID, you know.
Sure.
The team was terrible for 2 years.
And he got there and brought them to respectability, which is below the standard. And
they lost an SEC title game.
And he won a Heisman.
Yeah.
And he
could be your guy.
And if they had a better defense, who knows? Maybe they make a playoff. But instead, they finished 10-3. We are 2 minutes away from your chance to win listener appreciation party tickets. Caller 4, 1125. Tell Sean your favorite sounder. That'll happen during the break, it looks like. We'll go to break right here. Michael Carroll will join us pretty soon, if not in the next segment, because I think we may combine to get to him here. And you can get your calls in for him if you want. The number is 713-780-3776.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here. He is host of Comicast. He hosts that podcast with John Lee. You can hear her here on Wednesday nights, but also anywhere you listen to podcasts. Wherever a podcast is available, so is Comicast. You can listen to it there. Let's take care of some business first, though, Sean.
Ooh, business.
And it'll lead into our time with Michael and maybe a new thing we do on Fridays to honor Michael's segment here.
Oh.
So we have our winner for the listener appreciation party tickets. All they had to do was be caller 4 and give you a sounder. Which one is it today, Sean?
We did it!
That has been the consistent theme.
Classic.
It is the original, and it apparently is a favorite.
Ari also wanted to shout out Bye Bitch at the end of...
he likes Bye Bitch.
Yes.
I play that when I can.
Yeah.
As long as the bumper isn't 30 seconds long, like if it's a normal 5 one, sometimes we promote stuff on our bumpers. Mm-hmm. If it's a regular one, I will play Bye Bitch. The lore behind that is, if we remember, LeBron James got a woman kicked out of a game for the way she was speaking about him. I think she was sitting courtside.
Uh-huh.
She spoke about that on maybe it was TikTok or Instagram. I forgot which one. And she ended her rant about LeBron with Bye Bitch. So that's where that comes from. Thanks, Ari.
Yeah.
Ari's.
I was like, thank you for saying we did it first, because I would have hung up on you and said you're wrong if you said Bye Bitch.
Yeah, that is a end of show thing for the John and Lance show.
Next.
Ari's like, whoa! It would have been too late. But Ari got in, so he'll join us at the listener appreciation party on August 28th, which is a Friday. Today is Friday as well. And with Michael here, Sean had an idea that would combine what we're doing throughout today's show.
Yes, because of how many suggestions we've gotten. There's no way we could have possibly played all the original music for movies, movie music, originals, whatever, however you want to phrase it.
A song explicitly created for that movie.
Yes. So we'll just, the plan is probably not next Friday, although I'll be here. I can do it. But
you did get a new title during the break.
Going forward on Fridays,
music
yes.
Music Supervisor Sean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's going forward on Fridays.
It is three words, Music Supervisor Sean. It's not just Music Supervisor.
Oh, okay. My first name is in the title.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Your first name is Music.
You should make sure to put that on your business card.
Your first name is Music, middle name Supervisor, last name Sean.
Okay.
And Music Supervisor Sean.
MSSM.
Lucky you didn't add a 13. however you want to do it, yes, Sean will take your suggestions. He'll add his own. I'll add some. We will honor Michael's time with us by making Fridays the day we play original movie music, particularly soundtracks. I'm sure there's some musical that you might love, but it's probably going to not be that. We'll see, though.
Yeah, if the musical is made into a movie, maybe we'll play it by ear.
Yeah, but there's some things that are clearly movies that are musicals, and then you just
Cats.
That or what Manuel Lin Miranda's up to from time to time. I'm not really looking for that, per se.
What he's up to.
Yeah.
What he's up to.
I'm not looking for music that drives the plot of the movie, is what I'm saying. Okay. It is just a needle drop more than anything else, and
got
if it's an original for the movie. But hey, teach their own. Michael's here with us, and Comicast, the most recent issue, is about the House of the Dragon Season 3 finale.
True.
There's a spoiler review. So, Jerry, while I won't do that on here because some people don't watch things at the same time I do, if you're looking explicitly for someone to talk about the show in an in-depth way, Michael has a podcast for you.
I do.
Comicast, the season finale, issue 660, excuse me, of the Comicast is the season finale spoiler review of House of the Dragon. So, Michael, just your overarching thoughts of the season, and then for the people who want more, they can go to the podcast.
I think it ended on a interesting note for, of course, Rhaenyra's journey, for Daemon. I think the Aemon stuff that he's been doing this season with Alice and Harrenhal and all that, there's aspects to it that I'm like, okay, and the other aspects that I'm like, I don't know, but... Like, it was a fine season. I think it was a better season than season two, not just because of the action, but I thought some of the, like, specifically episode 3 is still my favorite, I think, of the season, and that's the one where it's just focused on Rhaenyra's, like...
The POV style.
The POV style.
And I think people would welcome more of those because it's more in line with the books in Game of Thrones. Not necessarily not Fire and Blood, because that was just people commenting about what they're seeing in the realm, but the POV stuff from George R. R. Martin's Song of Ice and Fire series, I think that was an episode that particularly, even over the course of all the shows that have encompassed the Game of Thrones world, that particular one represented that feel maybe better than all the others episodes.
And in recent episodes, as you got deeper into the season, it felt more like Game of Thrones, where it was like, we're going to go here for this part, we're going to go here for this part. And not that that's a bad thing, it's just... Towards the end of Game of Thrones, I wasn't a big fan of it anymore. You know, certain aspects, they didn't do that as much because they were all together. But I did like specific following of Rhaenyra over the course of that, and especially with the music and everything like that. That thing hit. And of course, you can't go wrong in this season finale with dragons. And well, last two episodes, I would say dragons and whatnot with what they were doing. So it was a good episode, I think. For us, when we reviewed it, because we also had Melody McCune. She's a freelance journalist with Telltale TV, Movie Web, Men's Journal, a few other outlets. We talked about Sir Roderick, who was played by Tommy Flanagan, being just an absolute standout.
One of the Winter
season.
Wolves.
One of the Winter Wolves. The sequence with him going to Tumbleton and, you know, going towards the gates and all that, where the camera follows him and almost like travels up with him up the ladder. Like, that's such a cool sequence. And then just him making such an impact with simple noises, just gruffs and anything like that. I love Tommy Flanagan. I wish there was more of that. All I say is I wish there was more of his character. I think there's some fascinating stories to tell.
Yeah, I think people, particularly because he is a representative of the Starks, and people love that family because of the original series and the books. We haven't got a lot of Stark stuff in Game of Thrones things since Game of Thrones. So I don't know the entirety of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms story, those novellas. So I don't know how much Starks we'll see there or how much we'll see in season four now that the Winter Wolves are dead. We'll see if Cregan Stark makes another appearance, who we saw at the beginning of season two with Jace. But I would agree. And, you know, his final line, you know, the actual final line, not the grunting that you were talking about, is a banger too. So,
and the one earlier when Damon's like, open the gate and then die. He's like, okay, got it. Open the gate, then die.
He's been talking about dying for his queen or the queen over and over again. And he was asked again, are you ready to die? He goes, yep. This is what I'm here for. Because the story of the Winter Wolves is they're old warriors, and it's just population control for the North. And they go send these guys out to fight one last battle. You know, it's the honor of dying in battle. And they do it. And that was the whole point of them at the very end. And if you haven't seen the episode, but you know what we're talking about, I'm sure a couple of them survived. Didn't look like it.
But
keep going. Keep going, bros.
Keep going.
Go fight another war. Go to Marine. We don't know.
There's always another war.
But I like that this season kind of, as much as it was spectacle, right? Like, it is obviously, you know, a big part of the show. But at the same time, it's still showing you the aftermath and what people think of war in different ways. And because there's a specific scene with Damon that I think Melody and Jong were both of the mind that they didn't think it changed him. But like, to me, the way Damon looks by the end of the episode, I don't know that his complete nature has changed, but something I think changes a little bit for him by the end of that episode, that I think they've done a really good job of showing not just spectacle, but the aftermath of that spectacle.
He is a noted famous warrior, but if you haven't watched it or you have seen it, I don't know that he's seen war from that perspective, particularly when he is not on the back of his own dragon. He is dealing with a dragon he has no control of, and what happens when dragons go to war.
Kind of like what Kristen Cole had gone through, because obviously it sets him up on being the dumbest warrior around, but still, like, it that moment in season two changed him for season three. We see where he ends up. He goes in one way. I'm curious what way Damon goes. And there's some other aspects that worked and didn't work, but we get into all that in the podcast.
Yeah, we talked a surface view of, or at least we took a surface view of the season finale and the season as a whole. You'll get a more in-depth version of that on the latest episode of Comicast. We got a couple calls. We'll get to you guys if you hang through the break, but let's get to a couple, well, maybe the big tentpole movie of the weekend. I set it up because you came in this morning, and I asked you about it, and your opinion of this movie, the Anne Hathaway vehicle, as I like to say, is a bit different from what seems to be a consensus from most. I think it's like 84% of Rotten Tomatoes.
You're right.
Seems to be at least an enjoyable experience. You use a particular, it wasn't a grunt like Roddy, but you did go in your review, your quick review, because you had to go to work, of the movie. Now, while spoilers aren't a thing here, tell us what you thought of the end of Oak Street.
So, the end of Oak Street, I saw it Monday night, and the trailer presented it one way to what, like, I literally, after the movie, rewatched the trailer, because I was like, that's not what I expected. It's not what I expected at all. And I've been yelled at online for saying anything negative about the movie. What a shock. I'm no fun Michael now, apparently. But
music supervisor Sean, no fun Michael?
No fun Michael.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Put it in the branding.
Put it in the branding.
NFM.
Yeah, that's me. No fun. Apparently, I don't like fun, because I was like, it's fine. It just, like, if you want dinosaurs, you want a popcorn flick, this is for you. This is a movie that I've been telling Brian, and I told Sean. I don't know if I told you, Del, but this is a movie where, like, I want all of us in the office to see it, because I want to talk to y'all about it, because there's some moments in here that my mouth was dropped from either the spectacle of it or just the what is happening right now? Like, what is okay. What are we doing right now? It's a lot goofier than I thought it would be. It's trying to mimic a lot of the nostalgia of those Amblin, Spielberg, 80s movies in general. But it doesn't land it as much for me as it did others. I've seen a lot of people say this is the best dinosaur film since Jurassic Park.
I have seen that.
I've seen that a lot.
It's not a high bar, per se.
I was going to say, that's also not a high bar when you think about it, but like...
Like, eh, gets you pretty close.
It does really get you kind of close.
It's true.
It's, I mean, it's fine. Like, it's just... There is no practical effect, so I think that kind of holds it back because the dinosaurs, obviously, they're all CGI, and so it's like whatever. But the designs, the sequences are interesting enough. Anne Hathaway is by far the best actor in the movie. She nails it.
Ewan McGregor mailing it in?
Ewan's fine. Okay. I don't think he has anything that makes him stand out, especially when you go up against Anne Hathaway. But some of the elements, some of the things they lay out are more for the mystery part of it, and it's not going to provide you with answers, which is fine, but like maybe spend more time on some of the successful things, because I think when it's at its strongest is when it focuses on the characters, you know, reacting to the dinosaurs, obviously, but also just their internal strife. And I think that gets lost with the greater mystery of things and the ramifications of some of the aspects to it. Like, I don't know. The logic of it, don't think about it too much.
Got it.
And you'll enjoy it. But for me, it was like, it's all right.
I'm looking at Anne Hathaway holding that rifle.
She was great. She was phenomenal.
So let's go to break. I see Eric and Laros up there. We'll get to you when we come back, and we'll get into some of the other things Michael may suggest you should watch or not watch. We'll do all that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
This is Michael's pick. All the stars from the Black Panther soundtrack. SZA and Kendrick Lamar.
Did you know that I remade this with Trey?
I can tell you no. I did not know that.
Yeah, I did.
Where were you the... Kendrick Lamar part? Or
I was just the producer.
Oh, okay.
I was just the producer. Trey, guiding the Lamar.
Trey did both parts?
Trey did both parts.
That makes sense. Yeah. That tracks.
Yeah, that tracks.
He can do it all.
He can do it all.
Yeah. How did that go for you? Because I did see you a clip of you on a recent podcast where you were talking about watching a movie and what's it called?
ADR.
ADR took mm-hmm. you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
How did dealing with Trey and his audio stylings work for you?
It's an experience to say the least.
Okay.
It is. That's all you could say.
Got
to experience
it. You got to let the artist cut.
You know, it's like Nolan's movies. You just got to experience it, you know?
Trey and
just like
IMAX.
Exact same.
See
yeah.
it on the biggest
yeah. I got to go to Dallas.
You got to go to a specific studio and you got to watch just okay. the whole thing unfold.
You got do got to see him live. With Juggalo Trey, you got to see him live.
You just got to see him live.
That's true.
It's just different.
Yeah. No.
Video only does so much, you know?
You got a point. Let's get to Eric. Speaking of, you know, I don't need to see him live. I get enough of him every day. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Bill. Hey, MC. And hi, Sean Babe. How y'all doing? Yeah, I heard that Penguins on hold or it's going to be canceled for season 2, which, heard some rumblings that the main villain now is going to be Mr. Freeze because the Penguin's not going to be that big a part in the Batman Part 2. Also, I heard Wonder Woman and Catwoman are getting canceled as well, but not Wonder Woman. But they're trying to bring back that Batgirl movie with Firefly in it. There's a new truth to that. And I'll hang up the list and have a good weekend.
The only thing I know that has any basis in reality is the Penguin stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Where... That there is no guarantee we get a Penguin season 2, which
is disappointing.
Disappointing, yeah.
Because with the delay of the Batman Part 2 being to, what is it, 2028 now, that further holds up Penguin. And who knows by the end, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the timing of it all. And with Penguin, I don't know that he does have a, I forget, Colin Farrell's talked about this. He has like four or five scenes maybe.
In the Batman?
In the Batman Part 2. Like, it is reduced a little bit compared to what he did. I don't know if it's Mr. Freeze, though. I think we've talked about Mr. Freeze.
We have talked about how Matt Reeves' Batman seems to be based in a more, you know, down street level. I don't know that we're going to have these fantastical characters.
Mm-hmm.
We saw what the Joker and the Riddler look like.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if Mr. Freeze fits what Matt Reeves wants to put on screen.
Probably not.
I think we've talked about it for literally the entire run of the show.
Yeah, 100%.
Every time he brings it up, every time he talks about Batman 2.
And the Batman 2 gets delayed every 2 months.
And,
so.
And we give either an identical answer to the one we just did or something very similar.
And then the Wonder Woman, Catwoman stuff. I don't know about the Catwoman stuff, but like Wonder Woman, there is that Paradise Lost that James Gunn talked about way back when. That seems to be at the very least on the back burner now. But I also think it's just, one, I don't think James Gunn should have ever done that video because a lot of those projects, I don't think we'll see the light of day.
He's telling people we'll never make anything until a script is done.
It's done. Yeah. You should not have given people the perception that all these things are going to come out when there's not even a chance that they are at this point. And I think the Waller series is also in the mix on that. Wonder Woman, I know they're working on the character. I don't know that they have anything, but there is script work on that. The Batgirl movie that got like vaulted, I don't know that they'll ever show that or be able to, because I think at this point, because of the tax write-off stuff, I don't think they can.
Got it.
So, but I don't know what the difference is between that
and the Acme movie
and the Acme Coyote movie, because that comes out in 2 weeks, but that's okay. But maybe it didn't go through the full process like Batgirl did, because Batgirl apparently is locked away in a vault, not going to see the light of day unless some legal change happens. But there was talks about destroying the movie. Like, there's whatever Warner Brothers did. It sounds like we're never going to see that movie.
Yeah, you
ever.
Don't know the power of Will Forte. That's all.
That's true.
Yeah, Will Forte. Big Will made the call.
Big Will?
Forte.
I thought we heard from Big Will earlier.
Yeah, Big Willie.
Big Willie style. Will Smith earlier. Let's get the LaRosa, and then we'll have a truncated rest of the segment for Michael to tell us what you should or shouldn't watch. What's up, LaRosa?
Oh, what up, Mopi and Mays? What up, Michael Carroll? What's up, gentlemen? How you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Doing good. Hey, so this is a real question. I'm excited for Lanterns. They had big high hopes because of DC's gone in a different direction because I saw Penguin, and I think maybe they're actually trying to do something better with these stories. But it is Green Lantern, and they have a history of doing Green Lantern dirty. But I was wondering, what do you think of the Lanterns coming out this weekend? And also, Marvel has stopped making a lot of production shows. Do you think it's going to be because of how Spider-Man was that they're actually trying to focus more on Doomsday and more of the actual story instead of like throwing out shows like She-Hulk or like Ms. Marvel or these shows that like, you know, ended up failing or actually kind of like, what was the purpose of that show? You know, like Echo and all these other things. So what's your guys think?
So let's get to Lanterns because it'll lead into some things you should or shouldn't watch. And if we have time, we'll certainly get to that final part about Marvel's direction with their things. But Lanterns, that is likely the big thing if you're staying home this weekend. And it takes over the HBO Prestige spot from House of the Dragon.
Yeah, that premieres Sunday at 8 Central Time on HBO and HBO Max. I'm excited for that one. That's like one of my top picks for the weekend. As one review described it, and as we've heard from multiple times about the show, it's being described as True Detective meets superheroes, but also a reviewer commented that it's combining the commentary of Watchmen. And Watchmen, of course, that's from Damon Lindelof, who is also part of this, writing this story. And if you say anything about Watchmen, that's, I think, one of the best shows ever, by far, in a way. So if you have him involved, if you have Tom King involved, I have high hopes for the writing of the show. While it doesn't look as fantastical, at least at first, it does seem as we've gotten more clips and trailers and stuff, we do see the Green Lantern suit and we do see the Green Lantern powers. I'm excited for it. I think if you focus on character, you win us over with that. That's something that the Green Lantern movie didn't really, you know, there was a lot of problems with that movie. But I think with the dynamic between Kyle Chandler and Aaron Pierre, I'm all about it. It's hopping timelines as well, because you're dealing with a present timeline and a 10 years ago timeline. So how that all like coalesces into the story, I'm very curious about. I think it's got a good cast. You're going to have Sinestro, which is one of the key villains of that, but not necessarily the main villain. Like, there's a lot to like about the series. That's why I'm excited for it. And I think it'll do well. And I can't wait to see it when it comes out on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm locked in. The trailers, even the ones that didn't show very much, got me. And that probably got me that I didn't see all the fantastical stuff.
Yeah,
you see Kyle Chandler flying around. You see the powers and all of that makes it better.
It's got like Western qualities too, you know, and that detective-esque. And I like that vibe that it's given so far. And then, of course, again, you have an actor like Aaron Pierre, Kyle Chandler, Kelly MacDonald, Laura Linney. You have that group. I think you can have something very special.
Okay. We talked about the two big ones. End of Oak Street. I always screw it up.
Yeah, the End of Oak Street.
End of Oak Street, mm-hmm. Oak Street, and then we just talk Lanterns. Mm-hmm. Anything else, movie or television-wise, you would recommend?
I would say, of course, streaming-wise, Reacher. Season 4 is out. First 3 episodes are out. New episodes premiere on Wednesdays. Check that out. Getting very, very good reviews so far. I actually got into Reacher not too long ago, so I'm excited for this new season. Of course, Alan Richardson nails the character so far. That's available for streaming-wise. Going back to theaters, there's the new Matthew McConaughey movie, The Rivals of Amaziah King, which is it's a unique story that it's hard to describe in just in the few minutes or in the minute we have. But it does look really unique, and as someone talked about, we want original stuff. The Rivals of Amaziah King is a very original story, not based on anything. It's an original story that I think people should give a try. 89% right now. And then it's a limited release, but Union County might be something to check out with Will Poulter and Noah Centineo, where they play brothers who are struggling with addiction. That's, you know, your sad, like, feels movie. But what's interesting is, majority of the supporting cast are real people, and a majority of that cast are actual addicts dealing with addiction. So it presents a new, like, the realism is amped up for this movie, and it's 96% with critics right now. It looks like something special to go check out if you can. The other thing, because I thought this was made up, but it's apparently real. The director for X-Files, I Want to Believe, mm-hmm. he recut the movie.
Yeah, I saw that trailer. Well, I didn't see the trailer, but I saw it come across my timeline.
So this is his original vision now from the film that came out in 2008. It's shorter than the original, but apparently has more horror, dark elements to it. But it's still not a great movie. Got so it. It's like, if you want to watch that, the original version and that version, because I don't even know how to say the back half of it. Frankenstein, like I think is how you say it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that was
it. I nailed it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And I guess really quickly before we wrap up, I do want to touch on the Marvel stuff. It does seem like they're changing in terms of TV. More focused on movies moving forward. So, yeah, you're probably going to get less She-Hulk. You're probably going to get less Moon Knight and some of these other series.
Kevin Feige, hey. Pretty much saying, why you ask about old stuff? Stop worrying about that.
Well, and I think it, like, Wonder Man got renewed, never canceled.
Yeah,
I think that wasn't a Kevin Feige decision. I think that's a higher level Disney decision.
Got it.
They want to focus more on movies,
and that wraps it up for us. Michael, that one movie you mentioned, Union County, I'm looking at some of the promotional stills from it. I gotta imagine they put Will Poulter and Noah Centineo in with all that facial hair, because there's no way anyone believes those two are brothers. So let's cover
100%.
Let's hide their faces as much as we can, because there's no way we think those two are related.
Zero.
Maybe the movie's good, but I'm already having to suspend
maybe
disbelief.
Maybe they're half-brothers. I don't know.
Perhaps. Adopted. Who knows?
Yeah.
That music means we're done. Thank you to Michael Carroll.
Thank you.
Michael Carroll's host of Comicast. You can hear that on Wednesday nights. He does that with John Lee. Has great guests come through. You can also hear it wherever you listen to podcasts. This is my last day for a week or so. I'll be back, not this upcoming Monday, but the Monday after that. You'll have Sean with Brian. You'll have Will Kunkel. You have Raheel all in here next week from 10 to 12. So since we're done for the day, and I'm done for a good bit, what's it going to be, Sean?
I'll see you on the golf course tomorrow.
Yeah, you will.
All right. Astros Mariners tonight.
See you on the golf course.
Not a chance. And throughout the weekend, as the Astros try to bury the Mariners for the rest of the season. I'll talk to you in a bit.
ESPN 97.5.